Amen. All right, Acts chapter 28, the first six verses. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. So here's a man, the Apostle Paul, and in a very, very short span of time, but a minute or two probably, just a few moments in time, he goes from being a murderer to a god. Now, a lot of folks, there are a lot of things in the Bible that a lot of men, they won't preach. I learned this along from the, when I first became known of the Lord, and I said, why don't you preach? Well, if you preach that, the people will take it wrong. And if you preach that, the people will take it wrong. And why don't you preach this? Well, if you preach that, the people will take it long. You know, it says in the book of James, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, and he's speaking of this, he said, it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. And so it is, and you're not going to change that. But I've always felt that it's our duty as Christians to tell the truth of the Word of God. It's just like we spoke a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago whenever Brother Robert was here from Australia, and we spoke of how we'd been speaking of the Holy Ghost, and we take Pentecostals and Charismatics. Well, they've ruined many of the gifts, and I'd say they've ruined them. They haven't ruined them. They've ruined them for people that would believe in such things, because they counterfeit and they misuse. Thereby, I mean, if you were to speak of the gift, I was in a Baptist church and you couldn't even speak of healing. And the first Baptist church I was ever in 40 some odd years ago, and I went to the preacher one day and I said, "Preacher, you're preaching that the wine in the New Testament is grape juice." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, how come deacons can't drink much grape juice?" He said, "Well, it's wine, but if we preach that, some people might stumble." What did we just read in Peter? It is what it is. And a lot of men, they say, "Well, we don't preach that you can drink." I don't drink. But the Bible sure does not preach against drinking, nor do I. I preach against drunkenness. Okay? Well, if we preach that you can drink, some men will... It's kind of like, well, if I put this liquor in front of an alcoholic... Well, the problem is with the alcoholic is that he needs to be converted. You see, alcoholism is not a disease. It is a sin, you see. It's a sin. Get rid of the man's sin, and he won't have the trouble with liquor. When God converted me, that was gone. I mean, all things became new. I mean, I don't know how it was with you, but I'm speaking of the way it was. So this, when I speak of this word, the little g god, from a murderer to a god, I've even had a man already say, "Well, you better be careful how you preach that." Well, I'm not going to be careful for nothing. Bad grammar, but good preaching. From a murderer to a god. You know, we spend our entire lives upon this earth like we're never going to die. We really do. You don't think about dying. And I'm not saying that we should. But we live our lives on earth as if we shall never die. And yet our lives consist really of but a few seconds. For what is your life in James 4:14? It is even what? Do you remember?
Vapor.
A vapor. It's just a vapor, you see. And yet we live always as if we shall never die. And that's why the millions today, why they live as they do. That's exactly why they live such. Because they believe, they don't have it, they know it, but they don't face it, you might say. And I've preached many messages how we've homogenized burials and funerals and such. But I'm going to tell you something. If you ever lower that box in the ground, I have, and you ever throw dirt on that box, I have, it brings death home. You learn more what death is, you see. And that's why people live like they do. That's why they have on the masks. Why, they're scared to death.
Scared to die.
Scared to die. Why? What if I catch this virus? And boy, I'd hate to go through life like that.
Yeah.
What if? Man, every day I climb in that F-150 Ford, I take a chance on a head-on collision. I don't know what the other guy's doing. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. I'm driving down the road at a high rate of speed. Anything can happen. But you don't think about that. If you think about dying in a fire, you've picked the wrong profession.
Yeah.
I was an air traffic controller. People say, man, what if you'd have run two airplanes? Man, if you think like that, don't do it. I never thought about running two airplanes together. I thought about keeping them apart. You see. And so that's why people, they wear masks and they get vaccinations and they go to doctors all the time and they take all sorts of medications because we feel like that we must live at all costs. But you see, death is a reality and it occurs in but a moment. Do you ever think about it? I've thought about that a lot, especially now. I'm old. It occurs in just a moment. Some may say you've heard the phrase, well, he died a slow death. No. Now, he may have suffered greatly for a good while, but death came in but a moment. If he even closed his eyes, death came in a moment. Many have suffered and lived. Death comes in a moment, in the twinkling of as does life. You know, the only difference between life and death is a moment. One moment. Soul and your spirit depart the body. And that's it. It's gone. It's just like you're moving and you close that door for the last time and you walk out of that house. And it's over. It's gone. And such is life, a vapor. You know, I now look back at over 70. I'm the oldest amongst us. A vapor. A moment in time. A vapor. Man, this seems like yesterday in Corpus Christi, Texas on Ray Drive, I was riding my bicycle. 5 or 6 years old. That doesn't seem long ago. I remember putting a playing card with the clothespin in the spoke so it'd make a noise like a motor. But a vapor. 35 years with Melissa. As a vapor. The girl. I think I met her at 13. I think she was 13. Now, a moment later, she's married, 30 years old, with 2 kids. Seems like yesterday. You see? Married 10 years? I think just happy anniversary. Didn't you just have an anniversary? 10 years. 10 years. Why? See, when we went in that cold church and did a little ceremony, that seems like yesterday. Didn't it, James? He's looking right at me. You see, a vapor. On the grave marker, one's life appears like a what? A dash. You remember? There's a bluegrass song about that. Yeah. The line between the two dates. That's your whole life, is a dash between two numbers. On a grave marker. So, that said, let's look at but 24 hours in the life of the Apostle Paul. He was shipwrecked. Man, that's a tough deal. Have you ever been out there? Shipwreck. He got to swim he didn't want. It was cold. And it was salt water. And then he got snake bit. How was your day, Paul? You see? By the way, just gee whiz information. A lot of people believe that the island that he was marooned on at that time was Malta. I used to believe that. After some research, I believe that it was in Croatia, actually, in the Adriatic Sea, an island called Melita, M-E-L-E-D-A, also spelled M-L-J-E-T. And I believe that the viper that hung on his hand was almost assuredly a horned viper that only has one fang. Pretty interesting, because we have rattlesnakes, they have two. And that one fang, he probably hung on Paul's hand. By the way, they say with a horned viper that they don't always, like a rattlesnake, they don't always inject. Okay? That thing came out of the fire. But it doesn't make it any less miraculous, because God could have let it inject, or he could have spared. It doesn't make any difference, actually. It's not even germane to the story. I'm just letting you know these things, okay? How was your day, Paul? Oh, pretty well. You know, the ship I was on, it broke apart in a storm, and I swam ashore, and I was among these barbarous people, these heathens. I got bit by a venomous snake, and he hung on my hand. It stayed on my hand till it fell in the fire. How was your day? You see, let me tell you the problem there. We can't relate to that. Folks, I'm being serious. You and I cannot relate to that. You know why? We weren't there. We can read it. We can imagine it. We can believe it. You can make a movie about it. But you see, we weren't there. And so really, we simply cannot relate. No matter how many times that I tell of my temptation in the horse wreck 22 years ago, and I've told it many times to many people, few, if any, can relate to such. You know, that's why cops hang out together. Doctors, firemen, air traffic controllers. You know why they have? Because nobody else, there are certain things in life nobody else can relate to. We were at the top of this ladder, man, and flames were coming out. Oh, okay, yeah, okay. But you had to be there. You see? You had to be there. The girl gave birth 6 weeks ago. I can't believe that's 6 weeks. Melissa told me this morning, 6 weeks? It seems like we were just praying about it, and she went into labor and had the baby. She gave birth. Didn't hurt me a bit. I didn't feel a thing. Did y'all? Did you feel her pain? You can say that. You see how human nature is. But in truth, oh man, that must have, yeah, I bet it did, you know. Nobody felt the pain except the girl. Truth is, we don't have any idea how I felt. You can say you do, but you don't unless you've given birth. Nor any of you how I felt when the horse split my body scalpely in half. You see, it wasn't your moment. And maybe you've had a moment that we haven't had. I don't know. That's why the old preacher used to have said, that's why nobody can preach anything. They haven't lived anything. And you can't preach effectively until you've walked in those shoes. You see? I think of Paul in that sea. I almost drowned once. Man, I was out in the ocean, a gulf. And the waves were thrashing and the hurricanes coming in. I know you're thinking, what are you doing out there? I was 18. I was a surfer. And I almost drowned. And yes, my life did flash in front of my eyes in but a moment of time. I think that's actually what's going to happen in death. And so that, if I live another, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it is, that's going to pass in front of me in a moment of time. I mean, I'd only lived 18 years then, and it passed. It was just blink, and it was gone, you see. Anyone ever been crucified? No. Nails like railroad spikes driven through his hands and his feet. Oh, I can relate. No, you can't. No, you cannot, you see. Now, I speak these things because of our distorted view of life. We live without God, and you can't say that we don't. God is a word, perhaps on our lips from time to time, but in our day-to-day moments, for the most part, most men can say they do not live with God. They simply don't. They're religious. They think they live with God for an hour on Sunday, or the 20 seconds they pray over a meal or in the morning, you see. And yet every second, now listen, hear me, every second upon this earth is but one thing, God. Every second. Paul, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Nobody wants that kind of gain. You see, who lives Christ? I'm asking you. And more so, who wants that gain? That moment when one passes from life to death. From a murderer to a God. When Jesus wept over Lazarus, they thought, oh, how he loved him. Remember? No. It was their unbelief. Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus. He waited an extra day. Do you remember? Is that why we weep at funerals? Unbelief? Like I heard an old Pentecostal preacher one time, did God make a mistake? No. Jesus said, let the dead, what? Bury their dead. Excuse me. So, all that said, what I really wish to speak upon is our title. And I didn't mean for that to be a teaser. A fellow told me yesterday, he goes, well, that's a good teaser. I didn't mean for that at all. When God gave me this in the early morning hours yesterday morning, I want to speak from a murderer to a God. Had a fellow ask me, he said, how are you going to preach at God? Like he was all nervous. How are you going to preach about that wine? Like they're all nervous. Well, how are you going to preach about that drinking? Like they're all. How are you going to preach about angels? Like they're all nervous. How are you going to preach about that gift of tongues? Like they're all nervous. I'm going to preach it just like Paul did. And just like God said it was. You see. Now I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe a man can know life without going from a murderer to a God. That's what I want to tell you this morning. I don't believe a man can know life without going from a murderer to a God. And you need to get that. Just let it sink in. from a murderer to a god. I said, if you've never gone from being a murderer to a god, grace has very little meaning. Now, I don't want all you good boys to fall out of your chairs. Grace has very little meaning. In but a moment, the barbarous people of this island, they supposed Paul to be everything from a murderer to a god. People are a little fickle, aren't they? They're a little funny about things. Oh, man, we love Trump and hate Biden. Oh, look, our check just got here in the mail. Well, Biden isn't so bad. It's the way that people are. You see? And in truth, it was so. That's the amazing thing. They were prophetic. He was a murderer that became a god. Don't tell those Baptists that. They'll fall out of their pews. You see? And I can speak of such. Can you? Turn to the book of John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 34 and verse 35. This is the Lord himself speaking. Jesus Christ, is that a good enough authority for you? I believe it is. If it's not, you don't need to be here. John chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus answered them. But he was talking to those religious boys, you know. He said, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. Do you see that? And he said, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, who are the gods? Those to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. And what was he speaking of? Well, he was speaking of Psalm 82:6. You can turn there if you like. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Talking to those standing in the congregation. Now, you may not know the feeling of childbirth. The girl does. You may not know the feeling of drowning or having your body split in half. But bless God, if you don't have any understanding of going from a murderer to a god, I've got very little to say to you. Now, that's what I want you to hear this morning. There's not much I can say to you. And you better hear that. That preacher, that independent Baptist preacher in Tennessee that told me all those years ago, Smokey, we're not all that bad, and sent shivers through my soul. And I walked out of there and never went back. Smokey, we're not all that bad. I've got very little credibility in one whose testimony doesn't include such, from a murderer to a god. Oh, that I could get you lost. People say, well, are you trying to get them? No, I'm trying to get them lost. Because I found they don't get saved, they get lost. I've had men tell me, man, I've got this. I said, well, you're not there yet. You still know where you are. It's time you learn what you are. That I could get a viper to hang upon your hand in the wet and cold, but it can't. You see, because you've never been there. You've never been shipwrecked. You know anything about your life being shipwrecked? I do. Horrible thing. Horrible. How can a man know God if his life's never been shipwrecked? if he's never had to come to himself? If he's never feigned to eat the corn cobs that the pigs wouldn't eat? I'm talking about going from a murderer to a god. Have you never drifted too far from shore? You've never been a whore, never been a drunkard, never been a fornicator, never gone from a murderer to a god in a moment of time. I'd ask, from what were you saved? I was saved from my sin. I know all about it. I was there. Are you saved from being a good boy? From what were you saved? You know, the truth is, most they just start believing in God or Jesus or make a profession of faith for various reasons. God gave me what I consider revelation this morning. I wrote it down. I was actually talking to George. I never chose to believe. Did y'all know that? Now you've got to hear that. I never chose to believe. I never chose God. I believe because God chose me. And if you ever get that, you'll know a little bit more about going from a murderer to a god, you see. And grace is even much, much more. We give grace too little credibility. Too little talk of this great, marvelous gift of grace. You know what grace is? It's going from a murderer to a god. And I mean that with every fiber of my being. As sure as childbirth, as sure as life and death. You say, well, preacher, no. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, all in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. See, I'm not a murderer, really. Jesus said, if you just look at her in lust, you've committed adultery. Really? And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I'm glad I'm not like him. You remember the publican, the Pharisee? I'm glad I'm not like that publican. Even as others. Murderers. Do you see? Even as others. Among whom also we all. How is it so many who profess Christ have never been here? Have never known such things. How can that be? As I told the old preacher one time, I said, man, preacher, I said, man, when God saved me, it was like Paul on the Damascus Road. I said, what other way can a man be saved? He said, I don't know any other way. Amen. I don't know any other way either. A murderer to a god. Yes. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus.